with a whisper.
I would want them all to be in the same room and have a really frank and full discussion in the next couple of weeks, just so they're on that page that actually allows them to play great footy next year, not look over their shoulders and wondering if the coach wanted them in the first place or he's going to tip them in the second place.
He should have been hauled off, I reckon, about 10 balls before that. He actually showed a real lack of intent to actually even try and score.
I said, oh, Dennis, let's, you know, I think it's time. I'm going to pull the pin and retire. He paused for a bit. He looked at me and says, geez, I think you made the right call.
You can bugger off, Mark. If you want to close the borders for the rest of the country, the Ashes tests should go to Hobart.
On RSN Central, welcome to the Thursday Forum.
Welcome to RSN Central on this Thursday. Big news, as Michael pointed out, Dan Andrews is talking at his media conference today because restrictions will ease from midnight tonight. Victoria to hit 90%. Double vaccinated, which is a wonderful effort by this wonderful state. So that means, or by this weekend anyway. So we are nearly free, Matthew Stewart. Hello to you.
Hello, Gareth. And you can just see the look. We've seen so much of Dan Andrews' mental anguish on his face for the last 2 years. He looks like the burden's been lifted. And I've got to say, I'm very, very, very happy and relieved.
Yes.
You know, like, geez. You know,
very, very, very happy.
I'm triple V.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's great, really, because I was thinking about the last couple of years and being stuck in an apartment there for, 200 odd days. And we've been lucky enough to continue to work in this great game that I mainly do anyway, Follow the Racing Caper, has still been able to continue on. But I've had a partner that's had to head back to WA because she had to get back to her family, and it's been difficult for so many people who have struggled to stay in a job, or they couldn't work because of the COVID restrictions and because of the COVID world that we're living in. So this is a great day for Victoria.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. It's been a nightmare the last couple of years. So.
Scotty Gallen hasn't had a haircut for 2 years because of COVID, and he joins us now. Hello to you, Scotty.
Hello, Gareth. Yeah, no, that's the most pressing issue for me.
How does this make you feel when you listen to Dan Andrews and restrictions to ease from midnight tonight?
I've lost track, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm confused. What does all that mean? Are the masks out?
Yeah, the masks, I think
they're out.
We can get rid of the masks. I think you only wear masks now on public transport.
Oh, this is good, because I've fallen foul in recent times of the mask. No, it's great, but yeah, I've sort of, you know, when we got to that point where we stopped
caring, thinking
about the numbers and everything, I think I've stopped thinking about it.
I think we probably feel that we've got to 80% of what Dan Andrews is announcing anyway, but are these those little extras like more people at a restaurant? But then again, I haven't noticed less people at restaurants anyway. Masks, you know those bikes you used to hire around the city and you'd dump them in it? The masks, Scotty, are going to be the new of those bikes, which are just going to pop up everywhere, littered everywhere.
I had a young friend in his 20s the other day tell me that he kissed a girl with COVID.
Oh.
With the French kiss as well, with the tongue, like the young passionate youngsters like they used to do at the school discos and all.
Can't remember that.
No, you don't, Scotty. And he returned a negative for COVID.
Double vaxxed?
Double vaxxed, I think he was, yes. But double vaxxed. But you can still carry the disease.
Yeah.
And I thought, that'll do me.
The old French kissing's back too, which Scotty and I are rapt about.
Anyway, we'll move on. Let's talk a bit about some football to kick off our Thursday forum. Do people really care? I don't really care. And I might be the minority here, but it's on the back page of your paper. Like, I couldn't care less what Jeff Brown thinks or what he wants to do with the Collingwood Football Club these days, Scotty.
No, I know where you're coming from. I mean, it's been a rolling story since Eddie got the flick at the start of the year. So, Jeff Brown, I feel like I've read a couple of times his mandate, but obviously, he's getting to the pointy end. He is going to get on the board in December and probably be president. But, yeah, it's that time of year where board, you know, the Jeff Kennett, Hawthorn reshuffle, it becomes a story that it probably gets more than it deserves, let's be honest.
Jeff Brown's even got his own website, jeffbrown.com, for the Collingwood supporters to go and look at to see what he is.
Has it got a forum section where he invites feedback?
100%.
Never do that. Can you imagine
see
that,
what
Scotty?
His plans are.
Well, has he got a special section for his son, Tommy, our good friend, to do a guest appearance on?
Michael Warner is breaking the story regarding Jeff Brown, and I thought Tommy would be a shoo-in.
No, he has to play very carefully, Tom.
Oh, does he?
He's very enthusiastic, as we know.
Yep. Jamie Carr situation, let's move on to racing. I know that you've chatted about this a little bit with Michael Felgate over the last couple of days. So I'll go to you here, Scotty. So Jamie Carr heads to the Supreme Court. She wins her battle saying that she didn't lie when the stewards asked her whether Mark Sarah was there. And she gets to take 2 months off her suspension. We get to see her at Moonee Valley on Friday week. And then, of course, on Sipping Classic Day, I think it's a win, not only for Jamie, but for racing fans to see her back.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's good on her. I mean, and when you go and delve into the details of it, I mean, her explanation wasn't that bad. Oh, yeah, well, he wasn't there at the end, and you asked me, and we need her back. I mean, yeah. The spring was great. You know, Preble stepped up, Oliver, J-Mac. So we had those personalities, but we loved Jamie Carr last year, what she did, and we just want her to keep, you know, breaking ground for women in this sport. So I'm very happy it happened. I think she got hit way too hard for what went down.
Was there a technicality that Jamie's car defence team were able to get Racing Victoria in the Supreme Court?
The Supreme Court judge, basically, to paraphrase it, said that the wasn't it was it was almost a bit ambiguous, and there wasn't enough clarity to be absolutely sure that the question that was being asked is what she thought was being asked. And I actually think what probably happened is there was probably an element, Scotty, of regardless of all that, the Supreme Court judge is probably thinking, bloody awkward question to ask someone on the spot of, you know, like, yeah. you're going to be sort of not volunteering your mates totally unnecessarily. So I think there was probably an element of, you've done 3 months. It was a really curly question, an awkward one. Whether it was ambiguous or not, we're happy to see it your way. And I think most of us are pretty happy that he did see it her way.
Well, you can imagine we've all been in that situation where you're freaking out, and the teacher or someone's going, "Oh, so who else did it?" And you're like,
"Yes."
Mind goes blank. So I reckon it's a good result.
If I was at a party for 12 hours and Matty Stewart was there, and they asked me, "Was Matty Stewart there?" I would say, yeah, probably, because you're the life of the party.
Well, I'll tell you a story. Miss Chawner was the teacher, and it was grade 5 at St. Bernard's in Bacchus Marsh. This is sort of related to this. I got detention at lunchtime. Gareth Stapleton was having his last day at school, and his family were moving to Euroa to run a large milk bar. Yep. I got detention at lunchtime. He came in when I had detention and wrote a terrible thing on the blackboard directed at Miss Chawner. And then he disappeared and got in the car and chuffed off to Euroa, never seen again. I had to protect him.
Yes.
And she sat me down in the... And then the principal sat me down in the shelter sheds because I was a little kid and I was in tears because I didn't do it. And everything they were saying was, well, look, we know you did. There was no one else there. There were no witnesses and all this sort of stuff. And I couldn't dob him in. So this that was my Jamie Carr moment.
That's a great story.
And Stapo, we had a 10 or 20-year reunion and I saw him there. I said, I covered your ass.
Unbelievable. Hey, what about Harvey Specter of the racing lawyer, the racing legal fraternity, Damien Shields? He got Nathan Jack off there, the big harness racing story. I think that's the case.
No, that just sounded weird the way you said it.
Yeah,
all.
So Nathan Jack was cleared. And we need to follow that. We need to get Damien on the forum because we need to ask him a few questions, and then he's been able to get Jamie Carr off as well. So he has been getting a lot of praise on social media over the last 24 hours. So well done to Damien. He has become the Harvey Specter of the racing legal fraternity.
I know him well. He'd be loving the praise.
He would, wouldn't he? He doesn't. I've seen him a few times in the South Melbourne area. He doesn't mind a quiet ale from time to time. He doesn't mind a bet, Damien.
No, that's
he's
right.
An old uni blacks man. He played the same footy club as me. Big lumbering ruckman. Shields is
one of those individuals, and he doesn't know who I am, but I've had a beer with him a couple of times. But he's one of those blokes that you really enjoy having a beer with because he's got some stories to tell with the people that he's represented over the years. He's
a colourful character.
Very correct.
Total character. Like, you know, rake and all that. I mean, look, he's incredibly intelligent, to be honest. I spend a bit of time with him, and I'm always amazed by the fact that he's in some ways such a victim, but in other ways, just incredibly, like, he's there's, you know, those people you judge them by the contents of their fridge, Scotty. And I opened his fridge once, and there was a half-eaten block of cheese in there, and nothing else. And I thought that kind of sums him up.
Like he's the Matthew Stewart of the law fraternity.
But very, very good at what he does.
Now, just with Damien, Andrew Ruhr, I remember him coming on the show, and he's been pretty popular at like sportsman's nights in a way. He goes and talks to people about what happened in the underworld era, etc. I think he would have a wonderful couple of stories to tell at a sportsman's night. I think he'd be entertaining. Maybe we should think about that for a business. Just on Jamie Carr, I think it's a disgrace that she's ineligible for the Jockeys Premiership Victoria. We had this chat with Quinny there yesterday. So you can't back Jamie Carr, who's 18 behind Damien Lane, to win the Victorian Jockeys Premiership because she was suspended for the 3 months for that situation there at Mornington and the B&B.
Well, it's like the Brownlow Medal, is it?
Not really. Not really, because you've got jockeys that get suspended for foul riding, but they're still eligible.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
On no level does that make sense. If she comes back and runs him down from 18 behind, how good a story is that?
100%. Yeah. So I can't work out why she's not eligible.
Well, that sort of blew up at the time. And I totally agree with you. But I think she's already won a premiership. She's going to know. Everyone's going to know if she chases down Damien Lane and Damien Oliver and whoever, and he's on top. There's no monetary value in it. She's won a premiership. She's going to be... What she achieved in winning it the first year was smashing through the glass ceiling and that.
But this would be a better story when she's 18 behind and she finishes over the top of them.
I don't think it will be. The first story was smashing history. The second one was just, would be...
Redemption.
Know.
People love a redemption story in sport, don't they, Scotty?
I don't think she'll lose any sleep over it, to be honest. No. I think we're more upset about it than she would be.
Well, the punters are, because I think there would have been a lot of interest.
Well, the bookies will pay out. They'll just pay out.
Yeah.
They don't need the rules and they'll just say we'll pay.
Well, they make their own market with Jamie.
I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago, Maddie. How do you reckon she'll approach, I mentioned media shy a bit initially. Is there a new Jamie, a warm, fuzzy Jamie, or head down, I don't want to talk to anyone and just ride, Jamie?
Well, I reckon the latter. And I think what has been sprung on her now, which... I think she'll find this a bit intimidating, really, is that she probably would have loved to have made a little comeback, just sort of, no one looking, Sandown on a Wednesday. All of a sudden, this zipping meeting, which has come out of nowhere, which I think is going to... I don't like that it's sharing the stage with the Jericho, but that's an aside. You got Carr back, Spanish Mission, surprise baby, possibly good weather, $20 to get in, discounted prices, rock bands. So poor old Jamie Carr's going to be going, I wanted to sneak back at sale on a Tuesday, and now it's not zipping stakes day, it's Jamie Carr's coming back day. So
that was never going to happen. Now, masks only required in some indoor setting, so that is a good sign. So you can basically roam around Melbourne these days in Victoria without your masks, except for some indoor settings. So just check that out on the Victorian government website. Just with Jamie, I thought she's handled herself beautifully in a way since that situation there at Mornington 3 months ago. I love the way that she's released her statement. She's apologised. I thought she was sincere and vulnerable when she was interviewed by Richo in a way on that awards night there for Victorian Racing. And I liked the way that she came out yesterday, made her statement, apologised once again and said, I'm not going to make any further comment, but she doesn't really need to. I thought she's handled herself really well since that mistake.
And, I think we've discussed this before, and I wrote a story, obviously, really badly quite some time ago where I was trying to say she shouldn't have to change, like the Dustin Martin type. She if she wants to be media shy, it might frustrate a few of us, but... That's overwhelmingly her right. If that's what floats her boat and makes her who she is,
100%.
Then I have absolutely no issue with it. And I think it's admirable, don't you, Scott? Even though we're in the media and we benefit from open and transparent and talky sporting stars, I do respect the ones that don't play our game. I do respect them.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand that, and they create this aura. That's what Dustin Martin did so well, and then he turned it into money, essentially. Then you start the book and you start the documentaries and stuff like that. I have no issue with that. I mean, it's harder for jockeys. I mean, they do post-race interviews every day, obviously.
And so she's always happy to do that. She 100%. Knows the minimum requirement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
well done to Jamie Carr. Sometimes when you make a mistake, the hardest part is coming back. And I think she's been able, so far, she hasn't returned to the racetrack, but the way that she's handled herself has been superb. And one of my highlights is when she was strapping Bless Her during the Flemington Carnival. She showed her face. She went to the races for Clayton Douglas. She showed that she loves the game still. She loves the horses, and she's probably more comfortable doing that than riding and being in the spotlight. But well done, Jamie. Go and get them when you come back.
But just on that level of superstardom, Scotty, it's amazing, isn't it? Like, she's probably just sits there thinking, I'm just Jamie. I've never been any different. I'm a bit shy. I do my own thing and all that. She must be, even this conversation, the Herald Sun will go ballistic on her coming back. She must just think, God, you know, how do I get my head around this? How do I live this life that it's not me, but it's been put on me? Ash Barty, they're all, I just don't, some of them would have to struggle accepting that they are superstars.
Oh, it's come very quick for her too. I mean, what, 18 months ago she was, you know, a good jockey, and then she became a superstar in that 12-month period. So it has come quick, and he hasn't had the ground, you know, the PR. I know she's got management companies now. So, but she stepped into horse racing because she loved it and was just happy doing her thing. And now you got, you know, the spotlight is on her every move. And that's going to take time. Clearly, she made a mistake at Mornington and he's still going to adjust. He's not going to be used to it even now.
We'll take a quick break. This is the Thursday Forum. Gareth Hall, Matty Stewart, Scotty Gallen with you. It's 10:48. When we return, we've got a very interesting story out of China that I think you'll find fascinating. Plus, we'll talk some cricket as well, and we'll take your text messages. And they have been pretty interesting today about the opinions of the forum panel. And I don't know if we can read. We can read probably the majority of them out anyway. 0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation. Welcome back to RSN Central. Gareth Hall, Matty Stewart, and Scotty Gallen with you. Scotty, have you come across the story in China regarding one of their better tennis players, Ping Shui, I think that's how you pronounce her name. She was a Wimbledon doubles champion. And she said something about the vice president of China regarding that she was allegedly sexually assaulted by the vice president, and now she's gone missing. And China released the China government released a media a statement saying that she's okay. We found her and she's safe. And then the women's ATP or the WTA have said, well, we don't believe that. We want to see proof that she's alive.
Hoax email. I mean, it's shocking. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, no one's seen or heard of her, and now, you know, Naomi Osaka and Novak Djokovic, the tennis fraternity, are all banding around her because it's like, what, we all know what China's like. People go missing, et cetera, et cetera. They do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, and there's repercussions. But this is now a worldwide thing. She hasn't been heard of, as I said, and there's genuine concerns. And for once, the WTA, a sporting organisation, who would make millions out of China and be always worried about upsetting the Chinese, they've gone on the front foot and said, this is not good enough, we need answers.
But, yeah, sometimes it takes an unrelated thing to cause a major crisis. So, you know, there's been all this tension, Scotty, with China and its encroachments and its navy popping submarines popping up in the South China Sea and so on. Could this be the catalyst for something much, much bigger relating in regards to the relationship with the rest of the world and China, this incident with this tennis player, if she doesn't resurface?
It's a good point, because this is the thing that sort of attracts the mind of the non-political analysts in us. You know, this ticks everyone's boxes. They'll go, oh, hang on, I've heard of this you know, famous tennis player, and she's disappeared in China. What's going on in that place? And like you said, the last few years, there's just been an unease about what China's up to in a lot of things.
It's a fascinating story, and it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds regarding Ping Shui. I think that's how you pronounce her last name.
Yeah, Ping Shui, you're all over, Gareth.
She was a star tennis player for China.
What happens when people ring her mobile phone? Does she obviously doesn't answer.
She's just gone missing. Yeah. We don't know where she is.
Yeah.
But if the Chinese communist media regime says she's resurfaced, surely even in China she's got a mobile phone. Why wouldn't someone ring her and prove if she's resurfaced?
Oh, they may have tried that. I don't think it's true.
Sure they probably have, actually.
Novak and the team have tried to ring her a couple of times, Manny. I think, yeah. What about my favourite greyhound, Scotty? I thought I'd bring this up with you. Tigalong Thompson retired. Unbelievable. And we were going to back him for the Melbourne Cup, which is coming up this Friday with the Heats as well. We're ready to go. But I thought I'd let you know it's a sad, sad day because Scotty was part of the bandwagon that jumped on them at the Warrnambool match race when Tigalong Tonk became the most popular athlete. Gareth,
3 days we waited. Every minute we were thinking about the champ.
Tigalong Tonk. Yep, to get us out of trouble, Tigalong Tonk during the carnival, and he never let us down. He was headed that day, and he found a way to win. So these greyhounds are making...
If Dana ever finds out how much you had on Tigalong Tonk that day, she's never coming back from Perth.
Now
Daddy warned me about him.
How do you think the wedding got paid for?
Now, tell me this, Scotty. When you think about greyhound racing, and we've got the Melbourne Cup worth $500,000 on Friday, and there's also a rich night for the trots... But if you win the Melbourne Cup, it's $500,000. These greyhounds now, the best greyhounds, are all making $1 million plus.
I think we're in the wrong age. I mean, Campbell Rewilla, I see, you know, part-time, I'll get a good dog. Well, Matthew, why haven't we sort of, I know we've owned a few over the journey, just start walking, just start doing the streets and getting a good dog.
All you have to do to train them is go for a walk and they come with you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's maybe it's a bit more complicated. But I remember going to Jason Thompson's, would be 12 years ago, and he had a greyhound that was on the cusp of becoming the first greyhound to win $1 million, and it never actually achieved it. And then there was this, was it Fernando Bale, or what was the one, Fanta Bale?
Fanta Bale was the Britons. Fernando Bale, I should know who trained him, but he was the greatest, they say.
I'm trying to think of what the first
one
was.
Wouldn't have been Jason Thompson, because he didn't train.
But how many millionaire dogs, what I'm saying is, it took a long time for the first to come,
correct.
And then the prize money went up, and now, what have they got, 10 of them?
Now there's about four or five on the cusp of becoming millionaires. And there's two, next year, there'll be a Melbourne Cup worth $500,000 to the winner. There'll be two races in New South Wales because they missed out on the $1 million chase last year. So there'll be two chances for a greyhound to win $1 million to the winner in New South Wales. The Tab Phoenix is worth $1.1 million and $700,000 to the winner. And the majority of the slots are taken up by jurisdictions. So they're just giving the total prize money to whoever represents them in their slot. So the prize money is out of this world if you've got a great greyhound. Now, there's been some debate whether they're down the bottom there that they're not getting enough for the Tier 3 greyhounds. But
I reckon that's a reasonable point too, because we had Ollie Max. We did have one named after my kids, who now the GAP program tells me lives in Mont Albert on a very expensive couch.
Yes. So,
but he won about five races from 100 stars. He won something like $6,000 or something. I actually do think across every code... I'm a bit of a communist in this respect, and I reckon it's got to be a bit spread, really, really spread.
Yeah. I know. I think you need to make sure you keep the prize money so people aspire to be the best.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But I think their prize money, they're getting it right. And they probably need to put a little bit more maybe. I don't quite understand it. Greyhound people know a lot better than me. But when I have a debate with greyhound, talk to greyhound industry participants, it just depending on who you ask, some say you need more money in the metro prize money, some say the middle, some say down at tier three. It's all self-interest. But I think there's money going towards the bottom end, which is good, because there's a lot more greyhound racing going on these days. The Ballarat Cup on Saturday afternoon, you've got Kem LaGrange as well, worth $1 million, their race called the Gong. And then across there, which makes me a little bit... It breaks my heart a little bit. It makes me a little sad, is that you've got the Railway Stakes, WA's number one race, the pinnacle for anybody involved in that sport in the West. It's worth $1 million as well. And on the eastern side of the country, it sort of, in a way, gets forgotten about.
It is so far away. I remember when I was a kid, remember Fimiston, Gareth, or was he before your time? There was a champion West Australian galloper called Fimiston, and all the time, because Perth's so far away, it always felt like it was a completely different world. And maybe without the eastern state horses going there now, I don't feel that they will feel the lack of Eastern State horses as much as you think, because it is basically the central pillar is its own industry and the best that Bob can produce and the others, and that's always going to be about West.
But people in WA still love to have James McDonald, Chris Waller, Kira Maher, David Eustace, Damien Oliver going back, Damien Lane when he gets a chance to go back. Some of the bigger name trainers with their horses, Group 1 horses, like Kementari, he was
but
the star
be back
of
next
the show.
Year. It's not going to be a forever thing.
But I think maybe, and they tell me Rawa might have a bit of money in the bank these days with what's been happening with COVID, like most racing jurisdictions. I think it's nearly time that they put up their Rawa stakes and make it a $2 million race.
Yeah, what do you reckon, Scotty?
That'll get a few over the border. Yeah, I'm with Matty. I mean, as long as next year we're back on track, I mean, we'll still be punting on it, gentlemen, so I'll support
WA, it. Yeah, 100% we'll be, because it'll be in the latter stages of the summer afternoon, the early part of the evening, and William Pike will be trying to get everybody out of trouble.
Is he unvaxxed? William Pike?
Unvaxxed. No, I think he is getting vaccinated. I think there's been a few rumours regarding Willie about being vaccinated. It's fair to say that his beautiful partner, Jessica, is not a fan of the vaccination. Yep. She said that on a social media post. So that's out there for everybody to see. Mm. But Willie will get vaccinated, I would imagine. He was quoted in an article with Jay Rooney in the Western Australian saying, there's a lot of rumours about my decision.
He never knocked it on the head, though.
He didn't, but I think he eventually will.
You want to get on with it.
Well, he's still got it. There's a host of West Coast Eagles players still not vaccinated at the moment. 3 players. So it's just a different mindset in the West there, Scotty.
That's a shock, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, they're still in...
They're
trying to still wrap themselves in a bubble rather than accept that it's open the gates.
What's the biggest country club? There's a question coming through now from one of our listeners. What's the biggest country club in Victoria? Like Cranbourne is still classified as a country club in Victoria, even though it's basically, it is a suburb of Melbourne these days. Is it Ballarat? Ballarat would be in front of Bendigo, wouldn't it? Or is it Warrnambool in front of them all?
Well, this is fascinating you bring this up, and I'm interested in what Scotty thinks, because in 10 years' time, there won't be a single racehorse or participant in the metro area, because Flemington will be gone in 10 or 15 years. Caulfield's going. Big farewell to them on the weekend. So does everything change? Like this idea of the metro, you know, the big metro tracks and then the little country tracks, well, nearly every horse is going to be trained at either Cranbourne or Ballarat. So does that mean that the distinction between country and city changes, Scotty? And I know you'll be passionate about this. I know a lot of people in racing are saying, why the hell is Geelong so neglected? It is the second biggest city in Victoria. It's got a massive community that had a public holiday carp and all that sort of stuff. In order to get engagement in racing in the future, we need towns like Geelong to be racing towns. We need them to have a big cup and have a lot of support from Racing Victoria and engage the local community and so on. Do you think that because of the lack of horses and participants in town in the future, that the distinction between city and country will sort of change in the future?
Oh, it has to. It will. I mean, like you mentioned, I mean, Ballarat's with the Mar Eustace and everyone else there. Yeah, it is. I don't even know how many horses are trained out at that facility now. And Geelong's improved. 600. There you go. I mean, Warrnambool's improving. You know, Todd Dominic going there. Like, Warrnambool's got a lot of space. There's no doubt the metro country thing will just merge into one. And it might be sooner than we think.
And why? Mick Kent has a few ideas, but he reckons it's going to be distinctly an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference because crisscrossing from one to the other. The Cranbourne trainers never go to Ballarat, for instance, and vice versa. It's just too hard. So maybe, you know, what I'm hearing is, mate, why hasn't Geelong got a future plan for having 400 horses in work at Geelong?
Well, Wayne Hawkes always wanted that. He said, if you're going to sell Sandown, you've got to make up a bigger training complex in the Geelong area and have a host of training facilities there, allow people to train their horses, have access to different properties.
Well, they have a lack of land around the course, but obviously Bowen Head, you know, Danny O'Brien, there's plenty of space around, very close to the Geelong Racecourse where you can make it happen. Jamie Edwards, there's some nice places around there, and that would be the go.
Just before we wrap up, Scotty, who bats at number 5 for Australia? I love the way George Bailey's been going about it. He's a cricketer's selector in a way, where he goes
too
to...
Too much of a gentleman.
No, I like it. He came on this show and said to everybody... A big exclusive, by the way, on RSN Central. He said, well, Harris is our man. We're going to pick Marcus Harris, and we think he should be opening the batting for Australia. So that put that question out So he cemented his place, Harris. He's given him confidence to say that we're going with Hugh. He tells us he's basically picked either Head or Khawaja for number five. So in the world that we live in these days, and especially with the cricketers, that to put away their anxiety and also their thinking that maybe they're going to be playing or maybe they're not, gives them confidence to prepare, and it backs them in. I like the way that he's been going about it, our new chairman of selectors.
Oh, I agree. I mean, Chris Rogers, the Victorian coach, said exactly that. He said, Marcus Harris, now focus and enjoy preparation because we know he's probably going to be picked. Number five, I'm probably a Khawaja man. I think he's deserved it. He's fought back. I like his attitude. You know, the blue he had with the coach, I think it's a good story. I've got him ahead of Head. And I like that they've gone with Chris Green and didn't fall into Mitch Marsh, who does deserve to be in that team and probably will be soon. But Chris Green deserves his shot at it, given what he's done.
All right, then. Shepparton, very central, 2 hours from Melbourne. Could they build a training complex there?
Well, my view is the power is in the east and the west and not in the north. You've got Team Hayes up there and that, but and you've got Bendigo, but I don't know why there's this focus on a training centre in the north when quite clearly the horses are strictly east and strictly west.
Yep. Are you heading to Ballarat on Saturday?
No. I know I would love to, but I'm going to get into the swing the week after and head down to the Bull for the Jericho weekend.
Are you going to the Bull or the Sipping Classic, Scotty?
I would love, you know, I'm a Bullman, but yes, probably only May for me.
I might head out to Caulfield on Saturday week. I think it would be a great day's racing.
Well, between us, we can cover the whole 100% weekend.
100%. Looking forward to it. Always a pleasure, Matty and Scotty.
Good on you, boys.
Scotty Gallen, Matty Stewart with the Thursday 4:05 past 11. Time for a break. On the other side of it, David Gately will be joining me for his game plan, taking a close look at Ballarat Cup Day and also the gong meeting at Kemmler Grange.